Chapter 18, The Death of Turin. Now, even as Niniel fled away, Turin stirred, and it seemed to him that out of his deep darkness he heard her call to him far away. But as Glaurung died, the black swoon left him, and he breathed deep again, and sighed, and passed into a slumber of great weariness. But before dawn it grew bitter cold, and he turned in his sleep, and the hilts of Gurthang drove into his side, and suddenly he awoke. Night was going, and there was a breath of morning in the air, and he sprang to his feet, remembering his victory and the burning venom on his hand. He raised it up and looked at it and marveled, for it was bound about with a strip of white cloth, yet moist, and it was at ease. And he said to himself, "Why should one tend me so, and yet leave me here to lie cold amid the rack and the dragon's stench? What strange things have chanced?" Then he called aloud, but there was no answer. All was black and drear about him, and there was a reek of death. He stooped and lifted his sword, and it was whole, and the light of its edges was undimmed. "Foul was the venom of Glaurung," he said, "but you are stronger than I, Gurthang. All blood will you drink. Yours is the victory. But come, I must go seek for aid. My body is weary, and there is a chill in my bones." Then he turned his back upon Glaurung and left him to rot. But as he passed from that place, each step seemed more heavy, and he thought, "At Nengiddith, maybe I will find one of the scouts awaiting me, but would I were soon in my own house, and might feel the gentle hands of Niniel, and the good skill of Brandir." And so at last, walking wearily, leaning on Gurthang, through the grey light of early day, he came to Nengiddith, and even as men were setting forth to seek his dead body, he stood before the people. Then they gave back in terror, believing that it was his unquiet spirit, and the women wailed and covered their eyes. But he said, "Nay, do not weep, but be glad. See, do I not live? And have I not slain the dragon that you feared?" Then they turned upon Brandir and cried, "Fool, with your false tales, saying that he lay dead. Did we not say that you were mad?" Then Brandir was aghast, and stared at Turin with fear in his eyes, and he could say nothing. But Turin said to him, "It was you, then, that were there, and tended my hand? I thank you, but your skill is failing, if you cannot tell swoon from death." Then he turned to the people, "Speak not so to him, fools, all of you. Which of you would have done better? At least he had the heart to come down to the place of battle, while you sit wailing. But now, son of Handir, come, there is more that I would learn. Why are you here? And all this people whom I left at the Efel. If I may go into the peril of death for your sakes, may I not be obeyed when I am gone?"